Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2018. Lecture 28, delivered on December 6, 2018. The title of this lecture is Review for the Final Exam.
Today, review for the final exam. Now, as I had cautioned you, I expect you to ask me questions. I'm going to go through what I think you should know. And some things I will miss, I'm going to tell you that right up. I can't tell you everything, and I wouldn't tell you everything, but I will give you a good idea of what you should study. But it's up to you from there. Go ahead. Oh, that's the first thing that I do, okay? Don't worry. But we'll finish that. We'll go through the whole, as much as I can. Now, there are two versions of the final exam, two versions. One is answer three of four essay questions, and the other version is 40 multiple choice. Now, the essay questions can come from any place in the course. They are lecture-based. These, my in-class exams are not textbook-based. It might be in the textbook, but it has to do with what you have heard in the classroom. And it can help you if you listen to those podcasts to get some catch-up on information. And this is true of both the multiple choice and of the written essay exam. Which one is easier? Neither of them is going to be easy. And I will grade tougher. You had an essay exam from me before here at the midterm. I will grade tougher on this one than I did on that one. I cut slack on you. You said some things that were a little off. That's close. And you might think I graded hard, but I did not. And I will be much stricter on your presentation, complete sentences, follow the rules in that rubric for grammar, composition, and spelling, punctuation. I'll be a lot tougher on it. So, and remember, that each of those will be 33 and a third points. Basically, I'll give you the third point. 8 points will be for your grammar and composition, and then 25 points on each question that you answer will be content of your answer. Be dead on. Don't get creative. Say what I told you to say, and you'll do well on the exam and in your business life as well. I'm going to go through detailed questions, but I'm giving you sort of broad strokes now. The multiple choice. There are directly 8 calculation questions where you actually do math, and you can have a calculator. You can open your computer if you need to. There'll be proctors to make sure you're not wandering looking for answers to other things and all that. But you can have your calculator on your computer, or you can bring in a calculator anyway. And then there are some that have numbers, but you're not actually doing a calculation. You might have ones like, say, the hurdle rate this company sets is 8%. This project, Project A, comes in at an IRR of 10%, accept or reject. So in other words, it won't be a direct math calculation, but it will have numbers in it kind of thing. Or a bond is selling at, a bond is quoted at 95.32. This bond is selling at a premium or a discount or at par. Those kinds of questions where you're not actually math doing numbers on a calculator, but there's still numbers involved. There will be a lot of definitional types of questions on the multiple choice. Which of the following properly describes liquidity, something like that. Which of the following is correct? The greater the risk, the greater the return. The greater the expected risk, the greater the return. In other words, you'll have to know the right wording for an answer for some of them that are definite. You know, I could actually put the exam up on the overhead for a while. No. I'd see people writing at the speed of light if I did that. Now, I'm still being a little bit more broader here, and then I'm going to get more specific as this lecture goes along. Now, as far as the essay questions go, they will follow concepts from the course, and they might also involve knowing detailed structures. For example, what are the three tools of monetary policy followed by that the Federal Reserve can use? Or what is, who has the prior claim and who has the residual claim to the cash flows of a corporation? Those kinds of questions. They'll be detailed. A stock analyst shows that there is extraordinary price volatility. Well, is that a sign that this is a risky stock? Those kinds of questions. What is flight to quality? Yes. Two sentences or less. When I'm grading four, if all 400 of you decide to take the essay, that is an awful lot like work, especially considering that Monday, I think it's Monday after finals week, I have to have your final grades submitted. So I am not a happy person over the weekend grading all of those exams. Fortunately, I have my cats to help me grade, and I also have quite a few bottles of help. I didn't say that. Follow me on Twitter and you'll see me posting as I go along as I'm grading on the exams. Let me get down to some specifics. On the essay, I'm going to give you a few that might be on there. Be careful about trying to go on the internet to find my old exams. It's helpful to see what I've asked in the past, but I also am keenly aware that if I ask something in the past, you probably have seen it and gotten a hold of it, and you've got a well-prepared answer for it. So know that I will vary, and I will change questions substantially in these modern times from what I used to do. It's no longer a matter of having a bunch of questions and I just give them to you every semester, the same ones. Although there are still some professors who do that here, unaware of how quickly information travels. Okay, let me get a little more specific here on the... You're going to need to understand, this is for the essay exam specifically, but you also, this applies to the multiple choice version of the exam. So know that I am not just giving you one version. I'm giving you some information for both. You need to understand risk. You really need to understand it. Both what risk means. What does risk mean? How do we measure it? There are actually, remember I showed you different ways to measure risk. Is there any way that we prefer to measure it in finance? And is all risk the same? You also need to find in your notes where I talked about business risk. And I talked about certain types of costs that create risk and other types of costs that don't create risk. That's an important thing. That's more for the multiple choice. Well, no, that would apply to either. Okay. You need to know what I have said about the difference between accounting and finance in terms of costs, in terms of value. Now, on the first exam, I let go a lot. I was pretty easy on that particular matter. But this time, if I say, tell me what costs are in finance that are not in accounting or vice versa. You've got to be specific. Don't tell me one cost that's in one and another cost that's in another. You've got to give me, these costs are in accounting. They are not in finance. These costs are recognized in finance. They are not in accounting. You've got to do it that way. Be sharp and specific. I can't protect you from the world out there, but I can prepare you for it. When you answer someone, a manager or a boss or whatever, or even a subordinate, the sharper and faster your answer is, the better it is for everybody. So be clear this time. Don't be loose like I let you be on the first day, on the midterm. Also, there's another way to look at risk in terms of interest rates. Interest rates are one of the ways that we can measure risk. They are a signal of risk. You know that. How does an interest rate break down? What is the breakdown of an interest rate? This applies, by the way, these apply to both of the exams. Be sure you know that. How did I break down an interest rate into the parts of it? And if I gave you a security, let's say a bond, okay, we've got a yield on this bond. What particular pieces of that decomposition of an interest rate would you see? What would be prominent? So, for example, you would not, some of the risk in a corporate bond, you would not see in a government bond, for example. Some of the risk that you would see in a junk bond, you would not see in a corporate bond. In other words, know how that decomposition applies to different interest rates. How would the interest rate on a credit card be different from the interest rate on a home loan? Understand and be thorough in your understanding of terms like liquidity, financial intermediation, beta, net present value, internal rate of return. Know the definitions clearly. And on the multiple choice, as any good multiple choice test will be, I have answers that look right if you're not paying attention. Read carefully. Sometimes the actual right answer is right there in front of you, but it's the simplest answer, and the other ones look deeper and more meaningful, but they're the ones that are the bluffs. There's an old rule we know applies in a poorly formed multiple choice test that the right answers cluster towards A and B. If you've ever heard that rule, don't apply it here, because I actually have an algorithm that mixes the multiple choice answers. Okay, now, as far as calculations go, let me hit you with some of the math on the multiple choice. You're going to need to be able to calculate a bond yield and a bond price. Two different questions. One, you'll find a bond yield. One, you'll find a bond price. Be cautious. Make sure that you see whether I'm showing you a price or a quote. And be sure that when I ask your answer, if I said quote it, I might give you a couple of possible answers that are prices. Or if I said price, give me the price, I might give you a couple of answers that are the quote. So keep an eye out. Watch out for what I'm doing. There's one, I'll even give you a kind of a bigger hint. There's one where I have you calculate a return on an investment. And what I do in that one is I give you two answers that are prices and two answers that are percentages. So which two do you know can't be the right answer? I ask you for a return, like a four-year return. You bought the stock at this price, you sold it at this price. What is the annualized return? So which one would you... It will be a percentage. It can't. It's a return. Return means percent. It's not a price. Okay, so I've already given you, I'm telling you, I feel like I'm Pizza Hut. I deliver. I'm giving you some of the questions. I'm going to have you find an effective yield, okay? And as I said, an annualized return. You'll find a net present value. You will find an internal rate of return. You will also, I showed you earlier in the course, how you find the yield on a one-year treasury. Remember when I did that? I did that thing where you went to a treasury auction and you bought a treasury bill, a one-year treasury bill. There it is. I'll have you do one of those. Look at this. I'm being generous here. I think I put too much happy stuff in my coffee this morning. I've pretty much laid out the numbers questions for you. Like I said, I think there are a total of 8 where you do a direct calculation. And then there are some that use numbers, but you're not calculating anything. You have to conceptually understand something that has to do with interest rates. Make sure you know the structure of the Federal Reserve. Who does what at the Federal Reserve? How many there are? Those kinds of things. What is net present value and what is internal rate of return? What do I mean by prior claim? How does that affect risk of investments versus the later claim? What can a company do with the money it has left at the bottom line? What can it do with it? How does this affect the owners? Basics, I gave you some words. You should also know concepts like sunk cost, opportunity cost, accounting cost, market cap, beta, I think I said that one. Coefficient of variation, standard deviation. Know what those terms mean. And again, if you're doing the essay exam, don't ever give me a formula. I don't want to see formulas. I don't want to see graphs. I am the strongest mathematician you would imagine, and I don't think those are good ways to answer questions. They don't mean anything. You have to show me that you understand. What is the capital asset pricing model? What are the parts of it? What do the parts mean? A couple of other terms. I said opportunity cost, sunk cost, historical cost, future expected cost, Jensen's alpha, CV, coefficient variation, I said. Those things right there. Know the different kinds of risk. I said this, I talked about risk a while ago. Just make sure you understand what risk is and what risk isn't. Make sure that you understand why you should not be impressed by high return portfolio. Financial managers or kids in an investment club who get the highest return. Well, isn't he incredible? Isn't she the greatest? Because these people got the highest return. Why do I not get impressed by that? I had an interesting conversation over dinner last night. A company has an external company that manages its investment portfolio. And they were talking at the table, they were very happy because they have to hold a bond portfolio. They can't go into stocks because it's money that's for safety, for pensions and all that. And so they were talking about, the one guy had some papers, and he was talking about, well, they actually did pretty well in the bond market with a 2.5% return, which actually is, when you're having to be careful about investment in bonds, that's actually pretty good. And then on my smartphone, they were all talking, and they kind of put the, you know, the ugly fat professor over here on the side, and I was just flipping through. It began to occur to me that those bonds had betas that were pretty impressive, higher than I would have expected. And I calculated Jensen's Alpha. That portfolio was actually had a beta of about 0.8, and it should have actually been yielding about 5.5-6%. And yet they were impressed by it, one, because it yielded 2.5%, and two, it should have, that beta was higher than they probably thought it was. At 0.8, that doesn't sound risky, but when you're investing for pensions and all that, that's fairly risky. I didn't say anything, though. You know, they were paying for my meal, so, you know. Although, unfortunately, it wasn't a very good restaurant, Medici's, but there you go. It's your turn. Ask me questions. Yes.
In terms of the essay, are there's going to be no math at all, correct?
No math on it. That should make your heart warm, but at the same time, remember that I'm not all that impressed by the math anyway. I'm looking for you to know your stuff, okay? Yes.
Do we get to pick our version?
Yes, you choose. This is a cafeteria. Think of me as Al. I run Al's Diner, and all night I have Al's cafeteria of final exams. Or something like that. Okay? You just come in, either you pick up an op scan and the multiple choice, or you pick up the essay exam, and you do it. Go. I'm not going to do that. Okay, you are allowed two note cards, but you'll have plenty more to do for that, okay? I'm not going to do that to you. I'm glad you asked that because that was an idea I had, but one of the problems is that in a fast-moving market, I might write an exam and it has to be copied 3 days before and the numbers will change by the time. That happened to me once and it was a disaster. Yeah, thank you for asking that. Go. What was the question up here? Okay. Go.
What time are we
in? Oh, dark 30. 7:50 a.m., isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, get up bright early, eat your Wheaties, do not get drunk the night before. Okay? Yeah.
So, you said at the midterm that if our final grade was 30% higher, you'd drop the midterm.
I will diminish its importance significantly, but yes, I will. If you blew the midterm and you get a 90 on, let's say a 94 on the final, and your other scores are consistent with that, sure. I'm not going to be saying, okay, that midterm knocked you down to a C, but everything else looks good, and especially if you know this course by the end of it, yeah, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do an adjustment. That happens sometimes. It happens 10 students, 20 students a semester. And yeah, it's, look, you show me that you know it at the end, that's good enough for me, as long as everything else except that exam or something else was just knocking you down. Okay? Go.
If you had to choose, which one would you take?
Well, I wrote the damn thing, so I'll take either one.
Right,
and I'll probably flunk either. No. Look, some of you did really well on the midterm. You wrote well and all of that. Don't let that make you cocky. Well, I got a 95 on the midterm. Well, that I was also cutting slack. But if there are some people who are much better multiple choice test takers than they are writers, and I recognize that, and I have to adjust to the assessment style to some extent if I can. Yes. Yes, there is. Okay, in terms of agency, you could have one or two questions. Yeah.
For the multiple choice or the essay?
Yes.
In the agency?
Yes, it could be in either one.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't beat it up too much in a class like this, although God knows there's so much ethical. And one of the big problems is that focusing on ethics, on the laws, or even talking about the ethics of these scandals in finance really doesn't cover the whole topic of ethics having to do with consumer choice architecture and all the ways where we have this question of ethics versus ethical behavior. So I would hit you primarily with the concepts of agency, agency duty, and agency costs would be where I would focus. I would not hit you on the difference between the categorical imperative and utilitarianism. That gets into too much philosophy. Stay tuned for a higher level course, and if you ever take a higher level course, I will drill into it in a couple of them. Yeah.
So if you pick the essay questions, you have to answer all four of them.
No, you answer three of the four. Three of the four. Yeah. I mean, I've always done that because I swear, maybe I'm the only one in the universe who has this happen, but I've seen a question, and I know I've learned all about it, and I go pig face blank. And so that's why I give you three of four. Next, yeah.
So for the essay, I know you said that you recommend reviewing all of these. Is there, say, five of the topics you just listed that you recommend more so than the others?
No. Nice try. No. Yeah. Will there be what? No, I'm not going to bring up the yield curve. You know what I've said about that. I mean, I don't want to depress you anymore. I probably went too far trying to scare you about jobs. So, but I do want to warn you. It's going to be tough for you out there. So keep your head, as we used to say in my Army unit, keep your head down and your fangs out, and especially that fangs part. Other questions? Yeah. Yes, but that would be, I would do that one on the multiple choice. And it would not be a heavy-duty question. It would just be knowing, this is not what it would be, but it's something like, which of these is offerings is exempt from registration, or something lighter weight, or if you're a broker-dealer, what Securities Act, what securities laws would apply to you as a broker-dealer, mostly? Things like that, lighter weight, just the top level, because I can't teach you securities law in a class like this. What else? Yeah.
Are you going to release a study guide?
No, I'm not. I don't do study guides. Your life isn't going to have a study guide. Yeah.
You talked about net present value and internal rate of return. Will we deal with modified internal rate of return?
No, no. No, I will not do payback period or MIRR. I express my disdain for both of those. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'll get it up there. I've got to manually enter all those scores from quiz 7 and then do quiz 8, get these podcasts up, and then feed my cats. A few other things for the weekend, too, but yeah, they'll be up pretty quickly. Yeah.
Are multiple choice options A through D or A through B?
Yes, some are A through D, some are A through E. As a matter of fact, there's some true and false. Let me see how many true false I did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. True, false. And then some are A through E and some are A through D. And unfortunately, there are a few questions where there are three possible answers, only one of which is right. And I've got to figure out how to do a D that's a bluff answer. I really should just put this exam up on the overhead. Oh, by the way, also, make sure, and this would apply more to the multiple choice, make sure you know your ratios, what they mean. I will not have you calculate a ratio, but I would have you show me that you understand ratios. Yeah.
Should we know weighted average capital cost?
Weighted average cost of capital. Yes. Oh, yeah, there is actually, that was one of them that'll be a math question. It's finding a WACC. Now, a caution with multiple choice, like for finding a bond price, make sure that I will have answers that will be the correct answer if you entered something wrong. Okay? Make sure you know that. And make sure you remember what you're supposed to do for the coupon, the number of periods, to make your answers consistent with how real bonds pay their coupons. And I won't go any further than that. But you should know what I mean. You can calculate it and you'll get an answer that will be on the exam, but that's not the correct answer because you didn't show that you know how bond coupons are paid. Okay, so if you do it wrong, you'll see the answer that you got on the multiple choice. The same is true for the yields. Okay, what else? Yeah.
Any specific lectures you think would be good to review?
Most of them. I try in this essay exam and in the multiple choice to cover as many lectures as I can, so that there was meaningful content from the entire thing. I can't think of any, although there were some parts of some lectures that probably won't be in there, like when I accidentally caught my face on fire. That will not be subject of a question. And unfortunately, my volunteer did not show up today because there was one last crazy thing that was going to happen, but my volunteer didn't show up, so that you will be spared one last cray-cray thing. Although the night class, I know it'll happen there. Other questions? Now, the one thing is, stay frosty on this exam. It is more robust than the exams, but a lot of you have been really hitting. I mean, I'm impressed by how you do that homework and those assignments online and all that, just hammering at them, which is good news, because that means that you are actually better prepared than you might think you are for this thing. By the way, I took that that cumulative exam 9 through 12. There was something weird that happened. It opens with 327 questions. And someone writes to me, and I said, oh, you're out of your mind. And I look in there, oh, no. And so I had to kill it. And then I reopened it, and I had to zero out a couple of scores because, you know, there were two poor slobs who took it, and they got like 5%. Okay, so I gave everyone three attempts on that one instead of the two, just to make up for that. I mean, that was just 327 questions, really? Okay.
Anyway. So how many questions
is
actually?
Is the what?
Is it 40 or 50?
40. Oh, on the final?
No.
There's 40 on that, cumulative 9 through 12. And each one. So, yeah. That's a lot better than 327 questions. Yeah, I thought this one guy, he was a trooper. The one kid who took it got like a 6.2% or something like that. You know, he gave up at about like question number 100 or something. You know, unfortunately, he can't write online or he probably would have said some bad things like FTS to me. Okay, now, when you turn in the, you're going to do your student evaluations. Now, that attendance quiz, put those right here in the right order so I'm not having to do that. And then I'm going to have volunteers to do the student evaluations.